Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So I watched the press conferences yesterday, as I usually do, after the Bears game.
Make you more angry or less angry or neither?
No, neither. Yeah. Like, the thing that bothered me most was Wims dropping the ball and the Miller ejection. There were other stuff. There was the Mitch not going for the sticks. Yeah, again, it every game, though. We've seen this. There's always one really stupid decision that Mitch just can't process every game, whether it's throwing the ball in triple coverage into the end zone, taking points off the ball board, or whether it's like going out of bounds when he shouldn't go out of bounds, or staying in bounds when he should go out of bounds, or, you know, not going for the sticks. It's there's always one of those. This is it's 50 plus games of this. This is not some like bias against Mitch, people. It's just craziness, the people who think we have it out for him. I want to play you this, though. This is from Trubisky's press conference. Now you got me mad. You got me back on that Trubisky roller coaster there for a few seconds.
Put your hands in the air. Click, click, and click, 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 click.
It's just like getting elbowed in a bar. Yeah. You turn. Oh, what was that? Did you mean to do that?
You want some of this?
You just keep walking. Yeah. Keep walking. Yeah. Have a beer. Yeah. Dance to the music.
Right.
But I get derailed every time. So Mitch yesterday was talking about culture, and he was talking about coaching. And listen to this. This is the Trubisky bite at the end of line one here, Chris, about being put in the best position to succeed against the good teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we just kind of got away from it tonight a little bit. I'm not sure why. I just go out there, try to do my job to the best of my ability, and try to go out there and lead my teammates. But when you're not efficient on first, second down, and they're putting you in known passing situations, you also got to be able to pass the ball and convert on third down that way. But we didn't tonight, and it was just we didn't execute. We didn't put ourselves in a good position. We got to get that run game going a little bit more, so everything else can come off of that. But you got to give them credit. They came out. They played better than we did, and they were the better team tonight. But I got a lot of love for my guys, and I'm just proud of the way that we battled all year long, and they still battled tonight, even up until the very end. And I do think there is a lot we can still get better at to put our guys in a better position to succeed. So that's just something we got to look at, something to talk about and move forward with.
What did that mean at the end there, Waddle? Like, there was a lot of stuff in there. And then in the last 10 seconds, he paused. And he says, but I do believe that we could still put our guys in a better position to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're like. There are a lot of people asking, is he calling out Matt Nagy? Look, I'm sure there were times when Mitch felt like Matt didn't put him in position to take advantage of what he wanted to do. And you've heard Mitch talk about that in the past. Get the running game going and get out on the edge. Again, and it's a good plan, and it works against lesser teams. But when you face teams like Green Bay and New Orleans, both teams who have good defenses, what do you think the goal was for both of those opponents the last 2 weeks defensively? What's the goal? The first thing you do.
Because stopping the run.
Amen, brother, because you can't, the boot doesn't work if the run ain't working. And if you look at the stats from yesterday, the run game, they had 19 carries for 48 yards. That's 2.5 yards per carry. So how do you run the boot game off of an inefficient running game? It works against Jacksonville. It works against Minnesota. It'll work against Houston. Will it work against a better team? So Mitch can say, hey, listen, we need to do what we did against the Texans, or we need to do what we did against the Jags. And I don't dispute it. I'm just telling you the success efficiency rate is not going to be nearly as high against better teams, which then circle back. It comes down to the concept that we've mentioned for better than a year now. There are just so many limitations. So Mitch can be mad at Matt that Matt didn't put Mitch in the right position to take advantage of what Matt Mitch does well. And I agree with that. And you heard me last year yelling about it. But Mitch also has to be held accountable for not being able to do the other things that the second pick of the draft in his fourth year need to be able to do.
Or pick up the first down and, yeah, and go for the chains instead of running out of bounds, right?
Yeah. So
like,
I mean,
you're not blameless.
Right. So, I mean, like, I can get if Mitch said what he said, but if Matt wanted to fire back, well, I mean, listen, I'm kind of limited here as well because I can't open things up because our guy doesn't process things really well. I mean, you could go back and forth with this. It all stinks.
Yeah,
that's why
they, right,
you're limited. Like, again, I think Matt, over the course of time, got so frustrated and stubborn because he wanted Mitch to run his offense but realized all along it's not what plays to Mitch's strength. So Mitch comes out, they dial up this offense that's really simplified, and they're running the football. But, oh, my God, Mitch, the other guys, they get paid, and when they slow down your running game and you run that boot, and did you see what Cam Jordan did? Cam Jordan ran with his hands up and took away his, right. I mean, it's like, where am I going to go now? And then they gave you the wide view, and there was only two guys in the route, and nobody's open. Like, that simplified offense works against lesser teams. It doesn't work. You got to pull out more stops to make things go. And again, you know, you heard me say, you got to keep it simple. That's their conundrum. That, like, you're not going to beat the Saints and the Packers running this simplified offense. But if you do try to open things up, you open yourself up to monster mistakes, which the other good, better teams are going to capitalize on. You're in hell.
I want to, you've been, now you're preaching to the choir. That's what we've been saying. They're in football hell. And that's why I've been shouting from the mountaintops, it starts at the top. This is an organizational flaw that's been going on for even before Ryan Pace was here and even before Matt Nagy was here. But now they're part of the issue.
You remember when everyone, real quick, you remember when everyone was screaming, well, you screwed it up because you took Mitch out. Well, you put him back in and now you're playing to his strengths. Well, now you're playing to his strengths against better teams, and what are you?
They were hoping for the higher ceiling of Foles. Yes. That's what they were hoping for. It obviously did not materialize. I want to play you later that we've got conflicting reports on Mitch. I keep getting texts from friends. What's Mitch's situation as far as coming back? I'll play that in a bit. Ron and Harvey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ron?
I got it. I think you guys are all talking exactly about what I've been saying to myself all this year watching. We do the exact same offense, which has been nothing but weak since the beginning of time, and they've never, ever changed that. We've never made these passes beyond the first down mark for a first down. I mean, we're passing behind that line and expecting the receiver to make up that first down every single time. And it just doesn't seem like we're ever gaining any traction because we've never changed the format.
Well, it works when you're throwing it to Tyreek Hill 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage, right? I'm being serious. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a wise ass.
Correct.
I'm just saying, and that's their reference point. Like, well, it works over here. Why isn't it working for us?
And it's one time. And you guys, you know, like, I just can't figure out. It's the same thing on the third and long. Why do we go just to make that first down and not go beyond that? God forbid if we have a turnover that's 30 yards downfield, I understand that we're playing to another team's defense and we're not that strong, but gosh, it's like a 50-50 toss-up. It just seems like we're always selling ourselves short and not taking those chances.
Ron, it is, I mean, you're right, it's frustrating as hell. So if you're someone that wants to see Mitch come back here and Matt is back with him, you're going to get more of the same. So, like, if you...
That's it. Yep.
If you want to see more Mitch, you're better off with a different coach. Now, they may open things up and let Mitch let her rip. He may throw 25 interceptions.
I just don't want more Mitch. I don't want more Nagy. I don't want more Pace. I don't want more Ted Phillips. It's a collaborative thing. I want to play you this going into what he just said. Chris, if you can get me the Romo situation later in the game. I think this was towards the end of the third quarter. They were off yesterday. You know, he's at home. He had a little bit of an energy lull, too. They were talking over each other. But he did point this out regarding Mitch and about the constant checking down.
These are the plays you want sometimes with Trubisky. The game's getting on the line, so it's two man they call it. You're going to have a guy down here. Now watch, right when he throws this, he's going to check it down. But this is the side. Look at, he's going to break out over here. You have plenty of space. And he checks it down because he read it to the left. What you do is you look left for a second, then you look right, and then you check it down. And I know it's a safe throw, but this is that time of the game where you got to take those chances.
Because he doesn't process it from pocket, like you said.
It's basic. I mean, like, I hate to say it, but these are all basic things.
Mike in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah, guys, I wanted to, there was a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson wanting out of the Texans. I'm saying we bring in Louis Riddick, which is the GM he wanted in Houston. We bring in their offensive coordinator as our head coach. We make a trade, send Mack and our second-round pick to Houston for Deshaun Watson, and use our first-round pick on a left tackle, and you got your offensive situation settled.
Mike, it's a good thought. You're not going to get Deshaun Watson for a player in a second-round pick. You multiple first-round picks. Multiple.
Well, I mean, listen, I agree with you, Sylvie, but previous regime in Houston traded one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver, in football for a second-round pick.
That's
basically.
True, yeah. I mean, you know.
But I'm with you. I'm with what you're saying.
Yeah, and that's why, like, Shefty was on with Greeny on Not Only Get Up, but also on his radio show here on ESPN 1000. And again, he said that Miami has everything they want. And it's not necessarily just Tua. They have multiple picks, and they have top-of-the-round picks.
They came from Houston originally, didn't they?
Yes, for the
Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah, Tunsil with the smoke. Well, what did he wear?
Yeah, the gas mask. Yeah,
oh,
the
gas mask. My favorite draft day moment ever. Yeah. Is Laramie Tunsil. Jim on 290, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. I want to just hit on a couple of points you've been making today. One of the things is we really need a regime change from top to bottom. Get a Louis Riddick in here, maybe an Urban Meyer. Put in all the chips for somebody that wants to win. Those coaches like that only care about one thing, winning. Waddle, I don't know why Louis Riddick is not being selected for a GM job, but I think the Bears could make a big splash by getting him to be our GM and, you know, going the different direction. I don't know who makes the decisions up at Hallis Hall, who is above George, but Ted Phillips needs to go, and they need to get people in there that actually know the game and want to win. And do what it costs to draft the right people and select the right free agents. And I think they really need to change the total direction. This reminds me of the Hawks when they were horrible. 5,000 people in the stands, if that. And you know what? We need to do that. The fans need to stop buying their merchandise. And that's the only really way this is going to change with this team. Is stop watching and stop buying their products because it's pathetic at this point. Need a big change. Thanks, guys.
I mean, thank you, Jim. I don't think you can put the same pressure on an NFL franchise that you can on other franchises.
There's only
10 reasons.
Home games. Those fans aren't going to stay away.
You've got a small stadium, and they are probably 40 person deep in every seat. So if people stopped buying season tickets, you've got people that are in line and have been in line that will step in. And look, at the start of the calendar year, the football year, every team gets a check collectively from the television group for rights fees. I believe the last check last year was $270 million.
Right. I don't think, again, I've said this about George, I don't think he doesn't want to do it. I don't think he knows how to do it.
I think that's fair.
I think that's the problem. He wants to win. He's competitive as hell. I just don't think he knows how to go about it.
Wasn't there a story, too? He mentioned Lewis, that Lewis was on the radar of the Houston Texans.
Finalist. Yeah, there were two finalists. It was him and the assistant in Pittsburgh. I think the assistant GM. Yes. And it was those two guys and I think they were going to go with the Pittsburgh guy,
Khan was his last name. Khan.
Yes. Yeah. Uh huh. And it's what it looked. And then they went off the radar, and then they said, you know, who's the guy, the chaplain is, who's running the team now?
Easterby?
Yeah, Easterby.
Easterby.
Right? And the owner. And they went that way. They went off the radar. And, yeah. again, they didn't want to interview even the one guy that your franchise quarterback wanted to get hired. You didn't even interview him. You went to your quarterback and you asked him what his input was, and you completely ignored it. And it's fine if you don't hire that guy, or if you don't give, if you don't even go to Watson for that sort of stuff. But don't go to him and then not even interview the guy he wants. Give that guy, do the due diligence and show your quarterback that it's important to you. And now Deshaun Watson may get traded. I want to take some more calls. 332-3776. That's the phone number. So much to get to, including the conflicting reports about Mitch Trubisky.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
We're talking about the Bears and Saints, 21-9. If there's something that drove you crazy about the game, 332-3776.
How was the Nickelodeon broadcast?
I did not. Man. I had it on, but there were some people in the media who went gaga over it.
Really?
Black Abdallah, you guys go crazy against
Nate Burleson's fantastic.
Well, you guys go crazy against the love for Romo. The love with these old dudes on Twitter, what they had for the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Well, it's not that they had love for the broadcast. It was that you had old dudes that were watching it with their kids, who their kids had never watched a football game. They're like 5 or 6 years old, and they just want to see slime and they want to see SpongeBob. And then what you had was the people in the media that are between, you know, Chris and I's age, you know, mid-30s to your age, Sylvie, 75, that were nostalgic for Nickelodeon, that were making references to the shows we talked about last week. Clarissa Explains It All, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know, even the newer ones like Hey Arnold and SpongeBob and Rugrats and Doug and all that kind of stuff. So it was more the nostalgia for having a game on Nickelodeon and watching it with their kids, more so than this is actually a good broadcast. And look, hey, if anything came out of it that's a positive is that Trubisky got a trophy.
Yes, he did.
What was that for?
Well, it was the Nickelodeon.
The most valuable player, the MVP.
Yeah, the Nickelodeon most valuable player.
For what? They gave it to him?
Well, yeah. Because it was fan-voted, and Big Cat, you know the following that Big Cat. Big Cat was tweeting us all day and tweeting his legion, you know, to vote for Trubisky. And it's Pro Football Reference has added it now to Mitch Trubisky's page. You know about honors? So, like, on there now, one-time Pro Bowler and MVP, Nickelodeon Valuable Player.
That's a big award.
It's a major award.
It's a biggie. Yeah.
You guys sound like haters.
No, I Bleck, you even said last week when you were a kid, you watched football. You know, I'm good with it. Anything that always grows the sport. I say it about baseball all the time. Anything that could enhance football, I'm all for. So I wasn't rushing over to the Nickelodeon broadcast. The CBS broadcast gets it done for me just fine. Even though he wasn't that way yesterday because he was so kind
of... He was too busy interrupting Jim Nance is what he was doing. Couldn't get a word out.
Yeah. Someone kept coughing, too, on the CBS broadcast where it was uncomfortable. Like, it was like someone's coughing and they've got COVID on the set and who is it? I don't know if it was JB. Boomer sounded a little raspy, but every time... There would be silence. You'd hear, like, it was uncomfortable coughing. And it happened about 3 or 4 times on the CBS broadcast.
I didn't hear anything because we were at Carmen's and we had the volume down.
I went to you guys during commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Like, I had you guys, so I had 3 television monitors. I had the CBS broadcast, the Nickelodeon broadcast, and the Bulls game going on. And then
the Bulls were probably more encouraging than anything you saw on the football field.
They competed a whole trip. They went 1-3, and they could not close those couple of games over the weekend. But they competed. And then to my left, I had my computer screen. And every time they'd go to break, I'd try to see what you guys were talking about. It was great stuff on Twitch.
Did you see us break down the RPO? Or where Mitch is sticking the ball in the belly of his running back when the end is crashing.
You were passionate about that, right?
Well, that's got. If you're going to run RPOs, you've got to make the right decisions consistently. You know what I mean? You can't stick the ball in the belly of the running back when the guy at the end of the line of scrimmage is crashing down and he's tackling your running back in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage. That's where the quarterback has to pull that ball out of the belly of the running back and keep it himself. That's what makes the RPO work.
And then Yurko was breaking down when he got the catheter put in in the hospital. It was really good stuff. So
I've never heard that story.
You never? Yes, you have.
I don't believe I've ever heard that story.
You've heard the story.
I did not remember it if I had.
Yeah, you didn't remember it. Because it's Yurko's number one hit. FedEx Harold, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Harold?
What's up, guys? Hey, I can't believe Trubisky actually won an award. but actually, I'm calling in because, Quado, I have a question to ask. What about Tony Romo coming to Chicago as a head coach? You know, I mean, even though, like, listening to what he was saying at the broadcast during the Bears game, he sounded, he knows what he's talking about, you know? And like I said, if Nagy's gone, you know, and Trubisky stays, to be honest with you, I think Romo probably would be somebody he could work with, but I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, Harold, I think just from the pure economics of it all, I mean, Tony makes $17 million a year to call a football game. God bless him for being able to grab that cash.
And then he golfs the rest of the time.
And then he plays. I don't think Tony, I mean, I have never heard Tony Romo make a statement about eventually wanting to get into the coaching profession. I think he's feeling great about what he's doing now. He's well compensated for it. I don't expect Tony Romo to be on a sideline anytime soon, but
I
really don't know.
He gets $1 million a broadcast. Yeah. Think about that. Crazy. David in Green Bay, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. How are you? First time, long time.
Thanks, appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Meow. Meow.
Hey, I just have a quick question for you, Waddle. I'm just wondering if you can elaborate a little bit, because I want to have eternal hope for the Bears. And, you know, you see them go 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, and now we've talked about, or you guys have talked about so much of them being stuck in the middle. What is it that makes it so difficult for NFL teams to maybe go from 8-8 back up to 10-6 or back up to 12-4? And how much of the Bears' current situation is factoring into your belief that it might be better to rebuild or retool rather than them all of a sudden jump from 8-8 back up to 12-4?
Well, I think, you know, if we kind of hit reverse for a little bit, David, I think we all saw them at 12-4 and we were excited. This defense was absolutely almost historically good. And we had a young quarterback that did some decent things, did some nice things. Second half of the season stalled a little bit when defenses became kind of wise of what they were trying to do and how he was doing it. So I think going into the 2019 season, many of us believed that there would be natural regression on defense just because it's hard to sack 50 quarterbacks and take the ball away 36 times every year. So what we all were hoping for is that while the defense would regress a little bit statistically and those huge plays and the 6 touchdowns wouldn't be repeatable, that the offense would pick the slack up a little bit here and do more of the heavy lifting, take some of the pressure off the defense, and we'd take a step forward. I remember talking about, hey, the record may not be as good as 12-4, but there's a really good chance this team will be better. And when they get to the postseason in 2019, because offensively they've made the improvements, they'll actually be a better team than they were in 2018.
Right.
You got no improvement on offense. In fact, what you got was regression on offense as well as defense.
And maybe they weren't even as good as their 8-8 indicated.
That is right. And what you had was a team that was 29th in yards per game and 29th in points per game. And while I have said, you know, ad nauseum that the coach disappointed me more than the quarterback because I didn't think that the coach adjusted well enough, what you found yourself with is, I think, a QB that did some things well but couldn't take that next jump. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Can I sum it up in the simplest possible way on why people would be open to a rebuild? Not all 8-8s are created equally. When you're 8-8 with a quarterback,
yeah,
you can retool.
That's a good point.
When you're 8-8 with no quarterback, you have nothing. You have Zippo. Nothing.
Well, if you have a, he's a quarterback that has, again, I'm not defining him. He's defined himself. He plays better and plays well at times against lesser competition.
But
when
we
they
know he's not our forever quarterback.
That's
even
my point.
Even if you put him in for a year, when you're 8-8 and you, like, if you're 8-8 and you have Ben Roethlisberger at 30, you can retool.
Right.
When you're 8-8 with Russell Wilson, you can retool. When you're 8-8 with Aaron Rodgers, you can retool.
Just
when
be.
When you're 8-8 with Blake Bortles, what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point because, listen, if you come back next year with Mitch and not a whole lot of other changes, my expectation level is not going to be that miraculously it all clicks because there's too big a body of work. So if you come back status quo at the quarterback position, I'm going to come back status quo in how I feel about where this offense is headed.
All right, so who do you believe more? Two people, both of them call themselves NFL experts. One says Mitch is coming back. The other one says not so fast. We'll play that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I got a text this morning from a friend who's in Florida wondering about Trubisky and his future here. So there were two NFL national reporters. One's good, one's... I'll go in chronological order. This was early in the morning on NFL Network. Ian Rappaport, who's very good at what he does, talking about Mitch Trubisky.
Well, Kurt, let's talk about the future of Mitch Trubisky. At one point, the Bears were certain he was their future, their franchise quarterback. Now, from what I understand, still has a lot to prove to get there, and obviously a big stage now to do it. Here are the things working against Mitch Trubisky as he tries to remain the franchise quarterback for the Bears. He had his fifth-year option declined. He's been benched. Obviously, he struggled last week. He's had his moment, but from what I understand, there's nothing certain the Bears are not set right now on bringing him back. Perhaps, Rich, if he wins and keeps winning, he can change their mind. Still a lot of work to do for Trubisky.
So not really positive, right? I mean...
No, I think what Ian was also saying is listen, he could really change the narrative in the conversation if he went out against the Saints and had a win because of Mitch type of game. I think that was kind of what Ian was getting at as well.
Sure, and then we saw it. So now we still don't know who's making these decisions. Is it going to be Ryan Pace who gets to make this decision? We still haven't heard from Hollis Hahn what changes, if any, they're going to make. Then on the CBS broadcast, less than a half hour before the game, it was Jason Lockenfora's turn to talk about Mitch Trubisky's future.
Mitchell Trubisky, his future in Chicago, much brighter than it looked a month ago. Look for the Chicago Bears to sign him to a short-term deal after not picking up his fifth-year option. Trubisky's play in December likely prevented a coaching search as well.
So one guy is saying a short-term deal that he thinks is looking really good. The other guy goes, he's got to show a lot more, and they're still not sold on what Trubisky is to bring him back. Who do you believe?
I believe what was behind door number one more than I believe what's behind door number two. I said, listen, I mean, common sense to me, and again, common sense isn't always on display up at Hallis Hall, as we've seen. But you saw the game plan against better teams. The coach doesn't, hasn't, and will never trust the quarterback. So how can the two of them come back next year together? Like, that's the one thing I'm adamant about. Like, what we saw when you stepped up in class, he's not a rookie. You saw the development of Josh Allen this year in his third year, right?
Yes.
So you would say going into year four, you're like, and I mean, it's a different conversation, but you're like, okay, we've turned the corner, we've turned the page, and we're heading in the right direction now, and the development is there. This was year four, and the coach showed you in the most important two games of the season what he felt about the quarterback with regard to trust. What did they do? So you can't tell me that the right decision coming back next year is to have them both back. Mitch has broken bad, so to speak. I mean, Mitch has expressed his frustration, I think maybe is the best way to say it. He hasn't broken bad on Matt, but you've heard him make some statements that make you think that he's irritated with some of the decisions that Matt has made.
For sure, yeah. Ed and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, guys, the Twitch thing yesterday was awesome. I had to turn it off after halftime when the fire water kicked in. I have a 3.5-year-old, and the F-bombs got a little much for him. Not so much for me, but it was awesome.
That's great, Ed.
And it was great. There was a little bit of a delay, so when that Sims play hit, I couldn't wait to hear the reaction from you guys. So that was really cool. I thought it was an awesome idea. And, Sylvie, the strength that you've had, I haven't had a chance to call in. Like, I get choked up when you talk about it, but I'm kind of a puss that way. But what you've done with Sylvie Strongman, I can't say enough good things about you. You're just a good dude, and I'm really pulling for you.
Thanks, Ed. That means a lot. From listeners like you, you guys have really supported me.
Yeah, you're the best. You too, Tommy. So here's the deal, guys. Slow the roll on the Lewis Riddick stuff, who I think is awesome. Did his time with various front offices, but he's the president of the Mitch – you know, Maserati Mitch thing. And that's not why I called, but let's let it play out. I wouldn't be opposed to it. The guy does have experience, but like I said, not why I called. Why I called is I think what can encapsulate the whole issue with the front office and the coaching and the quarterback position was on display Saturday night against Tampa Bay. A dude who I never followed, and I don't know college football. I knew that Watson was good with Clemson and that the Bears should have taken him, but another story. I never heard of that guy that played for the Washington team. That guy had the it factor. Now, I'm not dumb enough to say the Bears should sign him or that he's going to be the long-term answer for any team, but for one night, for 3.5 hours, that dude went toe-to-toe with the greatest of all time and held his own. And that touchdown where he dove for the pylon and we have Mitch stepping out of bounds on fourth down. Are you kidding me? I mean, coaching. They coached the heck out of that guy to get him ready to play. He wasn't even on the roster, I don't think, leading into the week leading up to the game. So the whole thing is ridiculous. How many times over the last 10 years, guys, have we said we need to blow it up? This is getting really depressing.
Yeah,
I'm ready to, like, cash out. My gambling and my fantasy interests have overtaken my interest in the beloved. I'm there every Sunday, but it's not with my heart and soul. And if that makes me a fair weather fan, they've reaped what they've sown.
Yeah,
Have a great day, guys.
Great call, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, you're frustrated. I get it, and for good reason.
Taylor Heinicke is who he's talking about. And Cap was all about Heinicke. Like, and I was joking with Cap that if anyone would have called the show and said, Cap, I've got a quarterback solution for the Bears, it's Taylor Heinicke. He's been bouncing around. He's been an XFL guy. He's been with Ron Rivera in Carolina. Cam Newton used to call him Heineken. I'll hang up and listen.
No shot.
Cap would have told that guy that he's high and that you're better than that kid. And now all of a sudden, the point is guys like Taylor Heinicke, Jalen Hurts, who's just started a handful of games, and even Wolford in that last game against Arizona, can do in one game what Mitch basically can do. That to me is where you know there's something wrong. It's not so much about overloving Taylor Heinicke. It's like, why can't our quarterback, who was drafted second overall and has 50 overall starts, why can a guy like Taylor Heinicke come in and run all over the place and you know, make a couple – some good throws? Why can't Mitch be better than that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some of these guys can lap Mitch, and they're nobodies. They're nobodies. And our guy, like some of the truthers, what they prop him up with, you know, a couple of throws. Would you see that throw at the end of the Denver game? It set up Eddie Pinheiro. Well, wait a minute. My seventh-grade quarterback can make that throw. He was crap for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, he made a couple of really nice throws yesterday. The one on the sideline that Wims caught was good. The second one where Wims was behind the secondary was also a good throw. But, like, those are throws you have to make. Like, you can't, you know, like, that's not celebration time. That's like, that's what we pay him for.
Yeah, yeah. So, some really good football over the weekend. I loved the 6 games. We'll get to some of the fun stories inside Waddle's World. If you want to react, we're guest-free, so you can react with us, 332-3776. One other programming note, too. A lot of people continue to call about Lewis Riddick and about his future. Lewis Riddick is going to be on with us like he normally is this Thursday at 4. So I know it's still a few days away, but around this time on Thursday. So we'll have a chance to ask Lewis about his future and what's been going on with him and the Bears especially. So all that coming up next.
This hour brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Boy, in just about 2 hours, we got 7,500 votes. That would be on a record-setting pace for a, no pun intended there, for a poll question. 7,500 votes
it.
In just 2 hours.
The pace thing.
Yeah, I know, because pace is one of the answers. The question came from Abdallah. Last night he sent me it. He said, Bears fans, you have to keep one and have in all caps. And we give you Nagy, Pace, Trubisky. You got to bring one back. And 47.7% going with Trubisky. And I think that's the loophole that he doesn't have to be your long-term answer. He could fight for the job, or he could be a placeholder. He could be a backup. But Pace is losing this by a landslide. 47.7% to Trubisky, 38% to Nagy. 14.4% saying that if they got to pick one, it's the general manager, Ryan Pace.
If they got to pick one to boot.
No, if they go to bring back. The question is.
Right. You said you Ryan Pace is the one. Ryan Pace isn't the one, is he?
Ryan Pace is losing in a landslide.
Right.
Right. Like, it's overwhelming that people want him gone most.
Right. That's what I was saying. Yeah. They want Mitch is the guy that is most likely to come back. Viewing the poll results of this poll.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you bring him back knowing that, like, this is a placeholder, and, like, all that talk of $25 million and franchise tags that was taking place, like, after the Jacksonville game. I mean, like, that would be crazy to me.
Yeah. Kevin in Lake Forest, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. We're good. Thanks.
So I wanted to get your opinion on something. If you talking about being in football hell with 8-8. So would you currently take the Las Vegas Raiders setup or the Chicago Bears setup? Because you know you do have some relationship tied to them from all the draft picks you gave them for Mac. So looking at their team and looking at what the Bears have, who do you go with?
So you're saying like which team I would have more confidence in going forward? Let's say in 2021.
Yeah, which organization would you want to jump on board for the next couple of years?
I would say right now, I would say the Raiders, because at the moment they have a better quarterback situation. And I know Derek Carr is not everybody's favorite quarterback, but it's better than our situation.
I'd go with the Raiders too, Waddle, but they continue to sort of surprise me. Every time I think they've arrived, they take another step back. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the year, it wasn't pretty. And look, Kevin, I know what you're getting at. I still make the Khalil Mack trade 100 out of 100 times. If I'm getting the premier rush end in the NFL, in the prime of his career, and when Leonard Floyd wasn't panning out, I make that move. And that's a whole nother thing. Like, why is Leonard Floyd now all of a sudden sacking the quarterback? And why couldn't the Bears get that out of him?
It's an interesting question. I don't know exactly. Yurko may be more equipped to answer that question than me. But look, I've said this to you a million times, like with regard to the Khalil Mack deal. I understand why they did it. But when you did it, you knew or you had to know that Mitch was going to hit. Because you can say it was chips all in on Mack. It was really chips on it all in with Mitch. Because you had no escape hatch if Mitch wasn't the guy. And we've seen that play out. You gave up your first-round pick, so you didn't have the draft currency. You had very little cap flexibility because you had to pay Mac. So it was the perfect concept. You've got a young quarterback on a rookie deal that's not making a ton, and you've got an elite pass rusher. It works if the quarterback actually pans out. That, to me, is the key. Like, you could say all you want that this was all in on Mac. This was really, the Mac deal was all in on Mitch, if you really connect the dots.
Yeah, but so do you think if they don't make the Mac deal, they find a quarterback in another way?
I think that it gives them the flexibility to go a different route. Remember, they went 2 years without a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the flexibility cap-wise to go out and do some stuff. They could have done some things. I know that they went out and they gave Robert Quinn $30 million guarantee, but that's spread out over the course of 3 years. It's a guarantee, but...
Two years.
Isn't, okay, maybe
he's
it's
got
two
one more
years.
Year.
Yeah. But, like, you couldn't
ways.
Go out there and... You know, you were built in such a way that at that point you couldn't go out there and spend $40 million or $35 million on a quarterback because of how you'd built your
right.
team.
Do we have a game today, Abdallah?
I have a story for you if you'd
oh,
like.
Oh,
I mean,
do
if you
sure,
feel like
yeah.
getting a little bit, you know, a little loose and a little crazy.
Always.
Yeah. So here's a little something from Waddle's world to take your mind off of your 8-9 football team and the disappointment that they created yesterday in their loss to the New Orleans Saints. Police officer mistaken for stripper at a swingers party.
What?
The illegal party took place in Mar del Plata City in Argentina, where there were restrictions due to COVID-19. The officer dressed up as a police officer was thought to be part of the ongoing show.
Oh, yeah. You're here to tell us to be quiet, and if we don't be quiet, we're going
to
pay.
When the police arrived to raid the house, 20 couples were having dinner at a farm located in an area 400 kilometers south of Buenos Aires. Those were the previous moments that the swinger party were about to... this story is written strangely. But then things got a little crazy, it says here, with the swinger party.
So it was a swinger. I mean, you could just stop at swinger party.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when it gets crazy.
After
but
it was,
they thought the cop was part of the...
They did, yeah.
Like, was,
yeah, yeah. The some police officers and inspectors who worked for the municipality knocked on the door at 10 p.m. A man opened the door and kindly invited them to come on in.
Yeah.
Since the party house did not have a valid permit, there were some ongoing additional restrictions due to the pandemic, and the officer decided to get involved. When they saw us, they thought we were part of the show, that we were strippers, the police told a local media outlet. They thought that, okay, I've got this swingers party going on. Here come in the police, part of the entertainment for said swingers party. Is police officers that are going to then dance for you. That was not the case. They were actual Argentinian police officers.
Yeah, that is crazy nutty story. 332-3776. We have plenty of time for your Bears phone calls. Was it something that happened in the game that got you? Is it something that's happened big picture with the Bears that you want to talk about the day after the season ends? And how about all of those penalties? What were the Bears doing? You will relive that, like it or not, coming up in 2 short minutes.